We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
And he melted that baseball, that's for sure. That was a turning point in the win last night for LSU over Louisiana Tech. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. We welcome in now LSU baseball coach Paul Mainieri. Coach, congratulations on the weekend. Thanks for the time.
Well, thank you. It was good to get the season started. Obviously, wish we would have won them all. We were in a position to win the one that couldn't finish it off. But I thought last night's victory was a tremendous team-building game. You know, it was a total team effort. A lot of guys contributed. I just heard the clip of Gavin Dugas's grand slam. Obviously, that was a big blow in the game. But there were a lot of great things that happened during the course of that game. And gives us a lot to build on and excited about the future.
Coach, I know that most coaches in any sport want to see how their teams can handle adversity, and you guys faced that last night. I'm sure you were pretty proud of how they answered being down 6-2, and it looked like Louisiana Tech was in firm control of that game until about the sixth inning.
Well, first of all, Louisiana Tech has a very veteran team and a very good hitting team. You know, it seems like I've coached against those kids forever, you know, Bates and Young and Netterville. I mean, those guys are men, and they've got a really outstanding team. They scored 18 runs the day before in one game. So to have a heartbreaking loss one day and then to fall behind 5-1 and 6-2 the next day against a pretty good pitcher, and then to see our guys not give up and be resilient and hang in there, have a great attitude. They were very positive the whole day. They came to the field early. The pregame practices were all crisp and enthusiastic. And you never heard a negative word in the dugout, even when we were down. You just felt the energy that we weren't going to give up. And lo and behold, we started getting some big hits. Javen Coleman was the key to the game. The freshman left-hander came in and slowed down their offensive attack and gave our hitters a chance to get back in the game.
Coach, you talked quite a bit about freshman Dylan Cruz, but what a weekend he had. He's off to a great start. 12 at-bats, 7 hits, 2 RBIs, 2 home runs, excuse me, and 3 RBIs. So off to a good start for him.
Hey, Coach Mainieri, that opposite the field home run, come on, that's major league when you look at the distance, huh? Come on.
Hey, Bobby, after I met with the media last night on a Zoom press conference, you know, I came to my office and I saw on my phone that I had missed a FaceTime call from Alex Bregman. So he had left me a text message, and all he said was, "You were right about Cruz. He's legit. He hit him where I've never seen a right-handed hitter hit him at Alec Box Stadium before." And he's right. I don't ever remember seeing a right-handed hitter hit a ball to that deep of the right center field gap at Alec Box Stadium. And if you're going to impress a guy like Alex Bregman, then you've impressed somebody, you know, because
right.
he's seen the good ones. And you know, you never know how a guy that's highly touted is going to get off to a start. You know, Daniel Cabrera, God bless him, I love him to death, and he had a great career here. But his opening weekend of his freshman year, he went 0-9. He faced nothing but left-handed pitchers, and none of them were throwing over 80 miles an hour, and they just tied him up in knots. You know, you just never know these kids. You know, it's baseball's a tough game. Guys are highly touted. You never know how it's going to happen, but Cruz just played like he was a seasoned veteran and played 3 terrific games, had great at-bats all weekend, and just felt like his confidence continued to grow with each passing at-bat. He was laying off tough pitches that were not hittable, and when he got his pitch, he didn't miss it very often.
Now, Coach Mainieri, I thought this was an interesting statement, because you being a guru of baseball, and I read this, I said, you need to explain this to the fans. And a statement was, "I know how important third base is. For me, it's the most underrated position on the field." Explain that to the audience, because I thought that caught my attention, because, you know, that hotline, they come at you quick, and how your reaction at third base.
Yeah.
But I just want you to comment on that.
Well, you know, Bobby, I go back to my own personal experiences. I grew up a shortstop. And when you're a shortstop, you're like the quarterback of the team. You know, you're in the middle of the diamond. They get the most chances. You're communicating with people. you know, and guys that play shortstop growing up, that there's an ego thing about playing shortstop. You want to be the shortstop. And I remember when I was in junior college, I started out as the shortstop. I got hurt. Somebody else took over as the shortstop. And when I came back, you know, that other person had established themselves, so they put me in at third base. I found third base to be much more difficult to play than shortstop, which is not what you would imagine to be the case. And so I've never forgotten that personal experience I've had. And I've had two teams in my coaching career, 1 year at Notre Dame, 1 year here at LSU, 2010, where third base was just like the Achilles heel of our team. And, you know, it we had won the national championship in 09, and in 10, I thought we had a great team coming back despite having lost several key members of our national championship team. But third base was such an enigma for us. We just couldn't make routine plays, and I think it really had an effect on our pitching. And Matty Ott and Anthony Renato coming back off All-American years struggled. And I think part of it was because they just didn't have confidence in the defense in the at the hot corner. And so, you know, those 2 years really kind of hardened me as a coach and made me realize just how important third base was. People don't think of third base as being a hugely important position because they usually – don't get that many plays. But I remember 1 year, several years ago, maybe 20 years ago, somebody made a point to me and said, well, you know, the third baseman always has a lower fielding percentage than the shortstop. And I thought, no, that's crazy. You know, shortstop's a more difficult position. But when I went back and studied it, third basemen always have a lower fielding percentage for one reason. They have less chances. And so when you have less chances – and you don't make the play, it really stands out, and it always seems to affect the team, you know. So, you know, we put Jordan Thompson in yesterday. He had one hard chance, and he handled it. The night before when I put him in late in the game, he made a great play. Sometimes kids get better when the lights come on, you know, when all of a sudden we're playing for real and kids are focused a little bit more and their natural instincts take over. And Jordan may be that kid, and I hope he is. You know, I feel so bad for Will Helmers. You know, Will is such an awesome person, an awesome player. We recruited him as a pitcher. I didn't even know he played third base in high school, but I was so desperate to try to find somebody who could make a routine play that I decided to look at him, and I got captivated by him. But he just didn't have enough experience for me to have thrown him in like I did. It really wasn't fair to the kid, and I take full blame for that. And he did the best he could, and the last thing I want to see happen is him lose his confidence, because he's going to be a key pitcher for us. So, you know, we made the change back. I tried something. It blew up in my face. I take the blame for it, and now we're going to move forward. We learn about our team. That's how you do it. Sometimes you have to learn from mistakes.
Now, Coach Bernard, if you can have your cake and eat it too, it sounds like it'd be a no-brainer. Jordan Thompson, considering how you play defense, if he was more a consistent hitter. Now, he had the long bomb, had the home run. So are you able to live with that? I mean, because obviously if you're counting on your pitching staff, you want to have an offense that's going to give them confidence when they go out there, we're going to get some runs. But is that the only maybe setback if Jordan Thompson could be more consistent as a hitter?
Well, Bobby, you know, this is the thing. When you know, the unique thing about baseball is your offensive players are also your defensive players, with the exception of your DH. So, you know, if you're looking for the totally well-rounded player that can really hit, can hit with power, can run, can play really good defense, those guys aren't coming to college very often anymore. You know, they're signing professionally. It's a very rare occasion when you get an Alex Bregman or a Dylan Cruz to come to school. Those guys typically would be drafted in the first round. They take.
Well, that's one good thing, Coach Bernard. Isn't that one good thing because of COVID that we got Dylan Cruz? I mean, you know, when you look at it, you know, timing and how it comes about. I mean, here's a major leaguer that we get to see at LSU now because of COVID. So you can look at the glass half full with dealing with Dylan Cruz in a Tiger uniform.
You know, Bobby, I think that's a really good point about a lot of our players that came to school, but not so much about Dylan. I think Dylan had made up his mind that, listen, he wanted to be at LSU. And if he wasn't going to go in the top half of the first round, he was coming to LSU. I think where COVID did matter, you're right, is that he didn't get to finish his spring season. And maybe he would have proven he would have been a top half of the first round guy had he played another couple of months of his high school season. But as far as his desire to be at LSU, he really wanted to be here. Now, there were some other guys that maybe we wouldn't have had back. You know, Devin Fontenot was ready to sign professionally. A.J. Labus was ready to sign professionally. There were other guys, but they just didn't get the opportunity to. And so, you know, they embraced the opportunity to come back to LSU, but given a choice, they probably would have wanted to sign. And I wouldn't have blamed them. You know, right. Most kids do. So, you know, that's where COVID, you know, in a weird sense, helped our program, but it helped everybody's program. You know,
right.
Everybody's more stocked with players and the competition league. So everything's relative. Trust me, I wish the COVID thing had never happened if it meant that we lost 10 players off of our team. But, you know, the thing is, you know, getting back to the point, you have to make your choice. Do you want offensive players or do you want defensive players? Because most of the guys are going to be either really good offensively with some limitations defensively, or they're going to be really good defensively with some limitations offensively. And so I think you have to have a mix. You got to determine what positions can you sacrifice a little bit of defense for. And, you know, sometimes you get really lucky because you would sacrifice some defense at first base to get a hitter, right? You'd take Eddie Furness, and Eddie right. was not a great first baseman. Well, now we've got a player that's great defensively and a great hitter. So what does that allow you to do? It allows you to make some other, you know, decisions on other traditional positions where maybe you can go with a better defensive player and sacrifice a little offense because you got at both those things at first base. So, you know, the more well-rounded players you have, the more deep your team's going to be, the more complete your team is going to be. And sometimes it just takes some young kids a while to improve defensively or to improve offensively. And maybe Jordan Thompson will be that player. He was highly touted coming out of high school. He's struggled defensively in practice. You know, he hasn't had many chances yet. The couple chances he's had, he's made great plays on. So let's hope that allows his confidence to grow and that he will do a good job for us at third and hit.
LSU baseball coach Paul Maneri here on Sports Talk. A.J. Labus, coach, yesterday, 6 runs, 11 hits, also 8 strikeouts against La Tech. And you mentioned how veteran they are, how good of a hitting lineup they were. They got to A.J. a little bit. Was that just because he was a little up in the zone and missing some spots?
Well, you know, A.J.'s pure stuff, Christian, is not overpowering stuff. And everybody knows that. He's a pitchability, what we call a pitchability guy. He's got to hit his spots. He's got to change speeds effectively. And he did a lot by virtue of his 8 strikeouts in 3 innings. You know, he struck out 5 in the first 2 innings. And then, you know, he went into the fourth, and I had to hook him in the fourth inning. But I think he had 8 strikeouts. There was at one point, they always say you go to baseball field, you're going to see something you've never seen before. You know, there was one point where he had struck out 8 batters, had given up 10 hits. So we had recorded, I think, 11 outs, 8 of them by strikeout, but they also had 10 hits and 5 runs.
Whoa.
So it was like feast or famine. You either struck them out or they got a hit and scored runs. So it was really a strange outing and hard to really describe. But the one thing I can describe about it is he wasn't walking people. He was throwing strikes. And if you're going to throw the ball over the plate, once in a while you're going to give up hits. Would you rather see a guy go out there and walk 11 batters? Of
right.
course not. You know, if you're going to get beat, you'd rather them have to earn it. And fortunately, you know, Javon Coleman came in and was able to shut a really good hitting team down, and it gave our kids time to get the bats going, and eventually we overtook them.
Now, Coach Brady, that's what I was going to talk about. Javon Coleman, look, he finished with 7 strikeouts, and all of a sudden – given the opportunity, a freshman and a left-hander. What? Coach Maneri is using a left-handed pitcher. I know you
Wait a minute. Wasn't there a kid named Jared Poche that pitched here? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about last year.
Than anybody else in the history of the program.
Hey, I Coach Maneri, I'm just saying, fans say, why we had all these right-handed pitchers? I mean, because I said, well, he's going with the best pitchers.
Lefties don't grow on trees either.
Yeah, whether they're right or left-handed. I'm going with the best pitchers.
Let me ask you guys this. Is there a study of the population of the world? Are there more right-handed people than left-handed people?
I would think so.
There is.
I would think so, right? So
right.
The amount of pitchers available out there would probably mirror the population of the world. There's not as many left-handed pitchers as you might imagine.
Yeah, so they would just I'm glad we have a left-handed pitcher. I'm out in public, Coach Benarini, they tell me that. Well, so that's a good thing. He's a freshman, J.V. Coleman, and did an outstanding job, to finish that deal and the great comeback against Louisiana Tech. Now, Coach Benarini, is this something now going into SEC play, this old baseball term, and as a footballer, like ducks on the pond? Then we got runners on base, runners in scoring position, that we don't want to leave stranded runners. Is that something? I know you emphasize day in and day out that we got to take advantage of that, whether it's now or SEC play. But really, I know you look at that stat. Okay, how many times we left the bases loaded as far as not being able to bring them home?
Well, Bobby, I don't care what sport it is, okay? I could pick any sport. You played in the NFL. The quarterback that could come through on that third and eight pass and keep the chains moving, right? Some guys had Drew Brees. That was what made his career.
Right.
He'd complete those clutch passes. You look at basketball. Who makes the big jump shot? It's easy to score 30 points, but can take that shot with 2 seconds left on the clock and your team down by one. Who makes that shot? Who makes the big putt? Any sport. The thing that separates people is the guys that can do it when the pressure is on the greatest. And nowadays in baseball, we've become so metric and analytical oriented,
right,
that, the experts, quote unquote, say that the RBI is an old stat that doesn't mean anything anymore. Hey, maybe I'm a dinosaur. It still means to me, it's still the most important stat, because the whole concept of baseball is to score runs more than the other team scores runs. You can get them on, you can get them over, but somebody's got to knock them in. And it takes something extra special to step up and do that. And it's not like kids aren't trying, but, when you get a guy out there in scoring position, the pitcher's not going to just lay it in down the middle. Now he's going to go to his best stuff. He's going to try to make great pitches because he knows a base hit's going to score a run. So the hitter has to be able to raise his game to match the pitcher's intensity, you see? And listen, yesterday we did it. Yesterday we did it, and it was fun, and it loosened up the team. And on another day, we probably won't, because that's just kind of the nature of baseball. If you hit the ball hard, once the ball leaves your bat, you can't control where it goes. And maybe a guy doesn't knock in a run, but he hits a line drive right at the center fielder. You can't fault the kid for that. He did the best he could.
Right.
You just had the bad luck of the game that the ball went right at somebody. Listen, last night, Trey Morgan went 0-for-6. He very easily could have had 5 hits last night. The first time up, the third baseman made a terrific play on him. His next 4 times up, he smoked a line drive at different people 4 straight times. So statistically, it shows up as 0-for-6.
Right.
With a little bit of luck, he could have been 5-for-6. And what difference would that make in your batting average or driving in those runs, you see? He came up one time, I think, with first and second and hit an absolute missile right at the center fielder. Did Trey Morgan not come through there? As far as I'm concerned, he did. He hit the ball hard. He just had bad luck. It went right at the center fielder. So you just keep encouraging the guys, and hopefully, the balls will fall for them. But as long as they're up there and they're taking their rips and they're letting it go, let it fly, then I have no fault. It's when they're tentative and they're holding back is when I have an issue with it.
Coach, road trip tomorrow, ULL. Just talk about that one.
Yeah, well, we're excited. You guys in New Orleans saw what they did over at Tulane this weekend. They won 2 extra inning games.
Right.
They played 3 one-run games. Must have been a great series to watch. And, I'm sure they'll be playing with a lot of confidence. I know they play Louisiana Tech tonight, and then we're there tomorrow. So this is a big week for the Raging Cajuns. Three big rivals in state, and they took care of Tulane 2 out of 3, and they got Louisiana Tech tonight. And I'm sure they'll be playing with a lot of confidence and a lot of energy, and we need to match that and go out and play our very best game as well. But it's early in the year, and these experiences, these kinds of games, are going to do nothing but help us grow as a team.
LSU coach Paul Benarini, thanks for the time. Good luck tomorrow.
Okay, guys.
All right, thank you, Coach Benarini.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.